This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. The United States is one of the richest countries in the world. It also has the highest rates of poverty than any other advanced Western nation. Some area organizations are looking to draw attention to the problem with the Truth and Hope Tour of Poverty. Journalists, nonprofit workers, activists, and others will drive to some of the poorest areas in the state, witness poverty with their own eyes, talk about the problem with area residents in town hall meetings. The journey has already kicked off on January 5th with a listening session, several of them, in fact, across the state. The next leg departs January 19th. Reverend William Barber initiated the tour. He's the president of the North Carolina NAACP, and he's in our studio now. Welcome, Reverend Barber. Good to have you here.
Glad to be here, Frank.
Also, North Carolina Center on Poverty, Work, and Opportunity is a partner in the tour. Its director is Gene Nickel, and he's with us as well. Gene, welcome back.
Nice to talk to you, Frank.
Reverend Barber, what is the goal of this tour?
Well, let me say this on the eve of the Martin Luther King remembrance of his life and legacy. The prophets in the Bible said that poverty was a systemic issue. In fact, warned those who made oppressive decrees that inflicted on the poor. So did Jesus when he talked about the poor, the patokos, those who are poor because of economic violence brought upon them by society. Dr. King said 40 years ago we had to deal with this issue of the poverty. Otto Swammer, who's an economist at MIT, says we have a blind spot of consciousness in our economic policy. The Truth and Hope, putting a face on poverty, too, is exactly that. We got to tell the truth about poverty. We've got to look at it. We've got to talk about how systemic it is. Those who've been suffering in a silent depression long before it was recently picked up in 2008, 2009 with the struggles in our economy around Wall Street. Then we got to look in the eyes. We got to see real people with these statistics, over 500,000 children in poverty, over 1 million people in poverty just in North Carolina. And then we've got to begin to look at how can we hopefully move to what I like to call just sustainability, not just having a society, but having a society that's rooted in justice, that breaks this ugly systemic pool and negative nature of poverty that is hurting so many people. And that gets us closer to what we say in our North Carolina Constitution, and that is to govern in such a way, to operate in such a way that we're doing it for the good of the whole and uplifting all people.
Gene Nickel, what do we know about poverty in North Carolina already?
Well, we know a great deal. We know a lot statistically, as we frequently talk about in programs like your terrific one. We know that it has risen dramatically in the recession, but as Reverend Barber said, and the first tour of this, the first leg of this tour is going to go to eastern North Carolina. It's also true that there are large parts of North Carolina which have witnessed chronic, massive, depriving poverty, not only for decades, but for generations, even likely centuries. In North Carolina right now, about 18% of us live in poverty. The number is worse for persons of color, as you know. The number is worse for children. Over 25% of North Carolina kids live in poverty. For kids of color, over 40%. Now, think about that. Just try to get your arms around that for a minute. This is one of the more impressive and accomplished states in the wealthiest nation on human history, and over 4 out of 10 of our kids of color live in poverty. We have an odd disconnect, Frank, which I think this tour a lot is about. That is, we commit ourselves to these foundational notions of equality, to liberty and justice for all, to governing only in the common good in our Constitution, as Reverend Barber said, to equal justice. We're the biggest talkers on the equality front. But there's an odd separation between what we say and what we do. And so a powerful purpose here is to try and shine a light in real terms on poverty. And I'll just end by saying that to move beyond what people like me frequently do, that is looking at the data and the statistics, to try to put some flesh and blood on poverty, which is much different in the face than it is in statistics, and to try and make visible something that we have collectively turned our gaze away from, and that is the economic plight, which many, far too many of our sisters and brothers in North Carolina face right now.
And how are you going to do that, Reverend Barber? How is the tour structured?
Well, the tour is structured to go into the heart of some of the poorest areas in our community. When we go east, we're going to go east, south, east, west, and then back to Triangle. But we're going, for instance, to Beaufort County, to Washington County, to Pasquotank County, to Hertford, to Halifax, to Edgecombe. In all of those areas, those counties average over 30% in poverty just among African Americans. In fact, Hertford is almost 40%. One of the things we have to deal with is we have engaged in a kind of attention violence when it comes to the poor. When we talk about, listen to our political campaign, we talk about the wealth in the middle class. Listen to our business discussion, we talk about the wealth in the middle class. We almost have silenced and been violent in our disregard for even engaging the poor and poverty in our conversations when we're talking about substantive change.
How are you going to give the poor voice? What happens?
Well, we have people on the ground. We're going into town halls. This is not where the professionals get to talk. We're going to listen. But this is where people who have been unemployed, who've experienced poverty for years, who are homeless, they will actually come to the areas. And the areas we'll be going are in the heart of places where we can not only see it when we ride through the bus, but hear it. Real people be talking. We're going to be documenting this because we don't believe we can shift public policy until those who make public policy, and we can't shift business policy until we are forced to see real people, real situations, and that unless they are lifted up, the whole economy, the whole state suffers, not only morally, but we suffer economically, because if you don't lift the bottom of the house, the rest of the house is going to fall apart. Yeah,
Frank, in almost all of these communities, the principal event is going to be a large town hall meeting. We're going to have local leaders moderate the town hall. We're going to have our listening ears on. Something you mentioned at the first, we have just come last week from listening sessions, which were designed to bolster that process. So that, like, I was in Rocky Mount, we had a huge meeting there. The principal goal of that session was to say, tell us what you think we ought to do when the tour comes through town. How can you best address these issues? And we had a very sort of powerful meeting on that front. We thought there were going to be 20 or 25 people who'd been invited to sort of help us plan the later event. We had close to 100. We had a long and sort of very energetic and I think vibrant discussion. And you heard from people's mouths what it's like to lose health care for your kids, what it means when the plants that you've worked for have closed down and there's no prospect of something returning. It's a little bit like I was saying to a group of my students the other day. I'm a parent. I look at the whole world powerfully through the eyes of a parent. When you hear a dad or a mom talk about not being able to get the health care for his kids that is absolutely crucial, it feels much different than looking at these numbers on a page. I don't know how I would react if I was in that sort of circumstance.
Yeah, and Gene, you're exactly right. We heard one of our organizers come and talk to us as he was listening to a report that says, well, you know, actually for a family of four, it really takes about $48,000 for them to really have a meaningful life. You know, $22,000 is what the federal government says is the poverty level, but we know that's only $481 a week, and there are a lot of people who are poor, even if you make over the federal poverty level, because it hadn't been changed for years. But this guy raised a question. He said, well, if it takes $48,000, according to some of you all who do this analysis, what about people who only make $4,800 a year? And have no prospect? And no one is thinking about how do we really change this in a real way. We just almost just ignore. You know, I grew up in Eastern North Carolina, and the common thread in Eastern North Carolina, for instance, is people don't pay attention to east of 95.
How is this, though? How is it a civil rights issue? We talked about the statistic. 40% mm-hmm. of the children in poverty are people in children of color. You know, they will tell yeah. you, you'll hear that, look, Jim Crow's over. I mean, equal opportunity abounds. It's not a racial mm-hmm. issue. This is not the result of racism, Reverend
well,
Barber.
Well, first of all, that's a myth. And second of all, you have to look at, as Gene said, the centuries, the generations, the intentional result. You think about in North Carolina, some areas in East North Carolina look as though the civil rights movement never happened. I mean, on other fronts, if you go down to Eastern North Carolina, for instance, there's never been an African-American to sit on the federal bench in the district court. Right now, we're wrestling with the whole issue of just representation. We've only had African-Americans sitting in the seats of power in our Congress since 1990 and in the legislature in the 1970s. There's so many places where you can see where you've not had a focus. But what today when we talk about racism, it's not just as the Jim Crow, you know, you can't do the Knight Riders, but what we talk about is you have to deal with the disparities. And when you look at these poverty numbers, while they're bad for everybody, the fact of the matter is, as Gene said, these numbers are exacerbated. And when we go to these counties in eastern North Carolina, this is the part of North Carolina where all the counties that are over 50% African Americans, that's where they are in eastern North Carolina. And what do you find? Poverty levels that are high as 30, 35, and in some places 40%. That's not people being lazy. That is a systemic problem.
I want to thank both of you for being on the program. The Reverend William Barber is the president of the North Carolina NAACP, and Gene Nickel is director of North Carolina Center on Poverty, Work, and Opportunity at UNC Chapel Hill. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Just ahead, scientists struggle to make sure their research isn't used for evil purposes. You're listening to The State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Stay with us.